So this morning, are you excited when you hear that this month will be the mission month? Yes, okay, I hope so. But perhaps some of you might think, mission month is not for me, you know. God didn't call me to be involved in mission. Or perhaps you say that I can't do it, you know, mission is too hard, you know, to live in a foreign country and with people with different language and religion. My family might suffer if I go to serve God in a mission field. Or perhaps some may say, I'm not qualified, I'm not trained, you know. I don't have the training, the skills that are needed there. Or perhaps some may say, that, you know, God, please don't call me today, you know. Don't send me to Africa or to the Middle East. Or perhaps some may say, that, yeah, perhaps I can, besides praying, giving, I can be involved in maybe 1 week of short-term missions or in partnership with El Shaddai here, working among the migrants, workers. Which is good, yeah. I just want to assure you that it's very common for human beings to be afraid or fearful. Do you know that even the great apostle Paul was fearful? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, he said, I came to you, that is to the Corinthians, in weakness with great fear and trembling. With great fear and trembling. But thank God that he and others did not allow fear to paralyze them or prevent them from sharing the gospel. We just thank God. So fear is normal. Don't be afraid. I was afraid when God called me. You know. So my mission is not just about... It's not just for missionary or church leaders, but it's for all God's people. I'd like to emphasize is for everyone of us. There are different ways that we can be involved in God's mission. Like the apostles, missionaries are just ordinary people. I mean, flesh and blood, with concerns, with fear, but they are the one that God called and sent out, you know, by God and the church as well. As we know in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, recorded about, you know, when the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law, they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were unschooled and ordinary men. But what made them special? They here said, because this man had been with Jesus. So the most essential qualification is being with Jesus, knowing our Lord Jesus Christ, believing in him, and obeying him. That's the most essential criteria. Let us remember that missions arises from God's heart because he is concerned for the billions whom he has created and love, and now are lost. He wants to restore them, reconcile them, and hope that they will return to him, to worship him and to follow him. God said, for I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. This is God's desire, that no one should die or perish. That is why, as we have sung just now, the Lord Jesus came, and by his blood, by his death on the cross, our sins are forgiven, that we can be saved. Mission is very important because it deals with man's destiny, you know, for the eternally. Either they go to heaven to be with God or go to hell and suffer. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection and before his ascension to heaven, as King of kings and as Lord of lords, who have conquered death and defeated Satan, and on whom all should bow and worship, gave authority, or gave this command to the apostles and to us as well. Go and make disciples of all nations. What then is this mission that God has commanded us to do? What are we to do? He says here, we are to be his witnesses, and then we are to make disciples. How are we to make disciples? We are to go, we are to baptize them and teach them. We are not just to make converts. We are to disciple them so that lives may be transformed, that they may follow Jesus. It starts from Jerusalem. Where is your Jerusalem? It may be your home, to your children, to your grandchildren, to your nephews, or other family members, from your workplace, from your school, in PJ, to reach out to the Orang Asal, and then later on, to like here, your Filipino ministry, and then the Chinese ministry as well, to other races in Malaysia, and eventually to overseas as well. But what does God promise, or Jesus promise? How are we to do it? We are to rely on his authority or power. All authority has been given to me, Jesus said. Second is his presence. Jesus promised that I will be with you. We are not to do it alone, but work with me. Allow me to work through you. So all of us are to be Jesus' witnesses and make disciples. So the big idea I would like to say is all are and all can be involved in God's mission. Just want to share with you a story of this grandma who came to bring, together with the daughter, you know, brought the grandchild who have cleft to see my wife. But every time she comes, you know, she is full of joy. She will go and make contact, like you see on the right-hand side, with this local dentist who is not yet a believer, and she will share her testimony. You know? She has gone through so much suffering during the Pol Pot time. Not educated, not trained, but yet she is passionate. She will share with her how God has worked in her lives. She will say, oh, that means it's a little sister or daughter, believe in Jesus. He is good. He is real, you know. Would you believe in him? Just as he has touched my life, I hope that you too can receive him and he can bless you and that you may have life in him as well. Today, we will look into a person called Moses, as we have read in chapter 4. It's about God calling Moses to deliver his people from Egypt. They were under bondage as slaves. They were slaves for... They were slaves for more than 200 years, perhaps more than 300 years. They were oppressed, exploited, abused. Perhaps many too are suffering as well. In similar way, may not be as slaves, but different ways they are oppressed. Or their families may be broken. We see a lot in Cambodia. Why did God call Moses to deliver his people from slavery? Because God saw, he heard their cry. He was concerned about their suffering. He remembered his promise of the covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. They are his people. He is concerned for them. And he has said this word, you know, I have watched over them. Watch over, it can be translated that pay close attention. I observe with care. I saw your suffering. It pained my heart. I have seen what they have done to you. Yet in my right time, I will send someone to deliver you. And that is why God sent Moses. Moses was God's chosen instrument. God called him to deliver his people. God said, you know, so now go, I am sending you. And God is sending us too. Go to the world. There are many who are lost, perish, who are suffering. Would you go and save them, deliver them? But like many of us, Moses felt inadequate. He was initially reluctant to obey God. So God knew that before he could send Moses out, Moses needed to know him personally. So in chapter 3, if you have time to turn to it, verse 4, you know, God said, he called to Moses, called his name, Moses, Moses. Twice, God knows him. God perhaps may call you Andrew, Peter, Huisu, or whoever you may be, you know. God knows you. He is the all-knowing God, the personal God. Not only that he is personal, but he says and tells Moses, take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground. Where the Lord is, in verse 5, chapter 3, it is holy because God is holy. And in Revelation, it says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He is different from all the gods or whatever that we know of. He is the sovereign Lord, only God. And he says, I am the living God. I am the God of your forefathers. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. And he is the Lord, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and promises. The word Lord, Yahweh, means a covenant God, a God who we can trust, who is ever faithful and keep his covenant. What he has said, he will do. And this is the God that we can trust in. He remembers his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And he is a great I am. Moses needs to know. You know, God said, I am who I am. I am the Almighty God, the eternal God, self-existent, self-sufficient, the creator and ever unchanging. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or it can be translated, I will be who I will be. I was and who I was. You know, that verse can be translated. God is who he is. Special. Moses, you need to know me. Not just see the burning bush, but you need to know me personally. You need to encounter God. And once we know God, once we met with God, we have the confidence. We know that God is true. He has worked in our lives, therefore we could share with others, this is true God that I believe in. Even Paul said, for the Christ's love compels us, for we are convinced that one, that is Jesus, died for all. Paul and the apostle experienced Christ, the reality of Christ's love, of who he is. Therefore, they went and tell others about the good news. God not only want to make himself known to Moses, but as we read on, you know, he want to make him known to his people, the Israelites, and then to the Egyptians, to Pharaoh, the officials, whether they believe or not, he wants them to know who he is. And then in Moses' song, you know, God wants to make known to the surrounding nation. He said, the nations will hear and tremble. Which are these nations that's mentioned? Philistia, Edom, Moab, Canaan, they will hear. And to Rahab as well, 40 years later, about, you know, Rahab and the people in Jericho have heard they were far away. And then to the Philistines in 1 Samuel, in the time of Samuel, 370 years later, around there, they also have heard the story of how God worked wonders in Egypt. And God desires not just them, but the Old Testament, the New Testament, even now, the whole world to know the Lord. In Joshua Project, it says that, you know, more than 5.3 billion people has still not yet believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants them to know Him. But how could they hear unless someone goes to them or tell them? And in the new latest report by Joshua Project, the status of world evangelization, praise God, used to have about 10% of active Christian or Christ followers. Now they are 12, according to Joshua Project. But yet, in terms of the core nominal adherence, that those people who call themselves Christians, they are still only 20%, which means that they may be the second generation. Perhaps in the East Malaysia, they have, you know, the parents or the grandparents have, you know, revival came, they believe, but the younger generation may not heard. Perhaps your children or your grandchildren are still not really believe in the Lord Jesus. Are we playing an active role to reach out to them? Do we have family devotion, starting from young, that they too may know Christ personally? Many still have not heard. So there is urgency. The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Ask, pray. Will you pray? You may say that I am old now, but you can pray. Prayer is important. Ask, God said, ask for more laborers to be sent out. If you can't go, may God move others to go. Ask. The gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. Just like your ripe papaya, if you don't pluck it, you know, birds may come or it may rot as well. There is urgency in sharing the gospel. According to one statistic, say, you know, do you know the number of deaths per minute in this world? It's about 26 to 100 people die every minute. And India and China top the list. So not only God wants Moses to know Him, but God wants to work in Moses as well. For myself as well, you know, I was afraid to when God called me. Sorry, it moved very fast. I'm not sure why. So God wants to work in Moses here, you know, to deal, not just to meet with him, but to deal with his inner concern, his past failures, his disappointments, his fears. God wants to hear what Moses wants to say. Sorry. So in here is recorded there are five main excuses that Moses gave to God, because it is all deal with his inner concern, what he fear. Who am I, he said. They will not know who am I. I'm nobody. Why should I, who should I say send me? What if they don't believe in me or listen to me? I am never eloquent. I can't speak well. Send someone else. You know, we all say, don't send me. Send someone else. I can give, you know, I can pray. Send someone else, perhaps. But God was patient with Moses. He wants to deal with the inner fear that Moses has. May I summarize these three and say, the identity, you know, Moses focused on himself. He said, who am I? I'm a failure. I'm useless. I tried 40 years ago. My people rejected me. But God said, my paraphrase said, it does not matter, Moses. Who you are and what you have done is not important. Don't hold on to your past failures, your disappointments, or your fears. What is important is who I am, God said. It is who I am. And I will be with you. I will be with you. I will fulfill my promise and plan through you. And Moses said, you know, they will not believe in me. The Israelites, Pharaoh, the greatest, one of the greatest king of the great empire, they will not listen to me or believe in me. God answered, I will work through you in power. They will see and believe. They will see and believe. I'm not good at speaking. I don't know what to say. But God said, I will help you speak. I will teach you what to say. God will enable. And he even had prepared ahead of time his brother Aaron. You know, Aaron will go with you. He will help you. I prepare a co-worker, a teammate, a helper to go with you. You don't have to go alone. You know? So I share a bit of my own hesitancy and struggle to go to Cambodia when God called us. You know, when I felt the Lord call in 94 to go to Cambodia to serve him. And then my wife later on, 1 year later, after she delivered our oldest son, she went and felt the Lord call as well. But then in my heart, even though I knew that God has called me to serve him or called us to serve him, I was fearful, you know. Because when I came back, I can't even remember one word of Khmer language, you know. It's very bad. I know one of my greatest weaknesses is language. So I tell God, God, can you really use me or not? I know you call me. But if I go, if I fail, what will happen? You have to take responsibility, God. I don't know what it's like to be a missionary. I have not been there before. I have not served once. So that was my fear, two fears. But looking back, you know, this is the Khmer language and fonts, if you see, John 3:16. But looking back, I see how the Lord has really helped me overcome my apprehension and my weakness to the support of friends. It's enabling, and of course, I had to work very hard. You know, I could learn the language, pick up the language with hard work. I lost quite a lot of hair as a result. But I could use the language, you know, to speak, to teach. They could understand me. You know, I can't speak very well, but they can understand me. Not perfect, still a lot of weakness, but I could comprehend very well. So God amazingly used that, you know, enable us to work together with the students, for example, do student ministry now, graduate ministry, teach, preach, also do bilingual translation of the dental materials, and also checking translation for Christian books. So just to say that sometimes we think that I can't, but God say I can. He will enable. God who called us will enable us. Though we may have to work very hard, yes, but God knows what is best. But yet, what God called Moses to do is very, what I call, enormous task. It's such a difficult task. You know, imagine Moses knew he had to lead millions of Israelites, 1 to 2 millions of them. You know, just to call people to line up or go to the camp, you know, go on a bus is so difficult. Imagine he has to bring people to the wilderness, provide food for them, not just for them, for the animals as well, for water as well. There will be conflict because people come together, bound to have conflicts you have to solve. So Moses knew a lot of challenges. He had to talk to Pharaoh. He has to talk to convince the leaders of the Israelites as well. Many things he has to do. It is difficult. And the task of mission nowadays as well is enormous. Like I say, there are more than 5.2 billion of people still have not believed in Jesus. There are many challenges that we may face. There are few active Christians. There may be spiritual warfare. There may be opposition. So Paul even wrote, he said, who is equal? Who is competent? Who is adequate? Who is sufficient? Who is qualified to such a great task of reaching the lost? But then Paul later wrote, he said, our confidence and competence comes from God, not on ourselves. We are inadequate. Our confidence and competence come from God. We have a great and awesome God. He will enable us. He will supply all that we need as we obey and do what he asks us to do. So I want to encourage us today, you know, chapter 4 of Exodus, let me read to you verse 1 to verse 5. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me or say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it to the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and became a snake and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and took hold of the snake and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, the Lord, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. So God asked Moses, what is in your hand? A staff. A staff is just an ordinary shepherd's staff, made of wood or for him to walk around, for him to take care of the sheep, or maybe to defend the sheep when there is attack as well. Just an ordinary thing. But why God say, take the staff? And then later on, you know, if we read on, it was called the staff of God. With this staff, you will perform wonders, God said, you know, miracles. In verse 17 and 20, he said, but take this staff so that you can perform the signs with it. And then in verse 20, and he took the staff of God in his hand. Why did God ask him to take the staff? You know. Interestingly, just recently, a preacher that I heard of, you know, he consulted his friend in Israel, who was a professor. They say, you know, the staff in the Israelites' life in the past, they have a staff, and whatever significant events that happen, whether bad or good, he will carve it from the bottom first of his staff to remind him what happened. For us, we may jot down in a journal, perhaps. For the Israelites, sometimes they do stones, you know, as a memorial to remember. So perhaps Moses remembered all the failures he knocked down on his staff. Perhaps it could be. But then God said to him, what is in your staff? What do you have? Nothing, you know. I have only a staff. Give it to me. I can bless and use it. You know. Whatever skill that we have, whatever talents, abilities we have, whatever resources, give it to God. God can use it to serve and bless others. But second, he said, cast it down, throw it down on the ground, throw it down. Throw down your failures. Don't hold on to it. Don't hold on to your failures. Don't hold on to your fears. Don't hold on to your hurts. Throw it down. Or Jesus said, cast your cares unto me. Cast it. Give it to me. I can change it for the better. For to do that, Moses has to throw. He has to obey God. He has to surrender. God, I give this to you. And he threw it down and became a snake. But then God said, catch the tail of the snake. Now, normally we don't catch because the snake can turn around and bite us. But God said, teach. It doesn't make sense, you know. But God said, do. Moses has to trust God. He has to go in faith and catch or trust the tail of the snake and became a staff again. So Moses, three lessons. Give it to me, surrender to me, rely on me, God said. Rely totally on me. If you do that, I can use the staff
and the staff will become the staff of God. I guess also the staff also reminds him, whenever he holds the staff, wherever he goes, that God is close by. God has spoken to him. He is here with me. So that helped to perhaps relieve his fear, alleviate his fear. And the staff of God, indeed, God used it, you know, it turned, performed many miracles. I tried to note down, I saw seven things that relate to the staff, where the staff turned to snakes and turned water into blood. The frogs came out from the Nile River. There were gnats, or small insects that came and bites the Egyptians. Then there were locusts that came. Then there were hailstones, thunder, lightning that came and destroyed the crops. And then they were used to part the Red Sea, that they cross on dry ground. Not only that, it was the staff of God that brought victory for the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. They had to fight the Amalekites with they themselves not being an experienced, not involved in any war before. But with the intercession of Moses, the power of God came in answer to prayer and gave them the victory. So I want to encourage you that God used a staff, what is common, what is ordinary. So some you may say worthless, insignificant, it may be just a little, all for his glory. And there are three stories I want to highlight. One is Samson. Samson killed the Philistines, slew 1,000 of them just with the jawbone of a donkey, which is considered unclean because they're not supposed to touch the carcass. Unclean, weak. You can't use, you normally don't use that to fight against swords or spears or with those with shield. What is weak? You know, I am amazed sometimes I look on the internet, there are people use waste. What is waste? And then they turn it into beautiful arts. Amazing. Or they use, you know, recycle things, you know, to help someone. You know, clothes we can use to give out to others, they can be used. What we think is significant, but it blesses someone with clothing, with food. They may just have no food to eat for many days. The food that you gave quenched their hunger. And God may use the little that we have. Like the widow with Elijah, you know, that Elijah went to, she just was going to die. She only had little flour, little oil. And you know, I was surprised that Elijah asked, make bread for me. Why give to him? Why not make for yourself first? You know, I do not know. But the widow obeyed. When he obeyed, he has flour that enough to feed his son and her for a long time during the famine. Or the boy with 5 loaves or 2 fishes. He only have little he gave to Jesus, and Jesus used that to feed 5,000 men. Plus women, there may be more. So God also used the ordinary. He used a young man, a boy, with sling and a smooth stone to defeat a giant, a Goliath, who is very experienced, a warrior, a war hero, but yet it was just a sling and a 5 smooth stones. But of course, it's not just that. I'm sure David has practiced many times as well. So I want to say that God can use us. Perhaps if your husband and wife tell each other or tell to yourself, God can use you. Say, maybe tell to yourself now, God can use you. And not just God can use us, God has equipped us. He will enable those he calls. Now we are God's handiwork. And in Ephesians said, created in Christ to do good works. What are the good works that God has prepared us to do? He has given us, and I draw here from Rick Warren, the shape. Now God has shaped us. Spiritual gifts, heart's desire or passion. So some of us, different abilities, talents, skills. Our personality are different. God used that to shape us. The experiences we go through, whether good or bad, God can use it as well. Whatever resources I have around are resources. What is it that you have? You may say, I don't have much. You may just have a pen or paper. But yes, people have used that, the tissue paper, to write beautiful poem, beautiful song, or beautiful story. What is insignificant, little, can be used by God. So what has God blessed us? What has God given to us? Are we using it as good, God's good stewards? Are we willing? I think it's important. Are we willing to use them? Sometimes we are not willing. When our children say, I want to go to serve God, we are concerned, it's true. But sometimes some parents are not willing to let their children go. But mission is more than just going out to overseas. You can be involved in, like I say, that, like you know, praying. Praying is very important. Prayer is very, very important. We need your prayers. Encouraging, supporting a missionary, practically. Mobilize others, may have to attend Kairos Cross to learn more. Or perhaps to be involved in El Shaddai nearby here, or Orang Asli Ministry, or Filipino Ministry. Or perhaps to use the skills, what you know, art and craft, to teach someone. You can also use what you have. Don't have to go physically. Now you have technology. You can use that to train others, train church leaders as well. Okay, so I will want to end soon. But I want to say that whatever you have, like a staff, be careful. Don't forget to trust God, to continue to trust God. Don't rely on yourself. Moses, when God said, speak to that rock, you know, in the end, he didn't trust God. He was angry and he hit the rock twice. God said, you did not trust me enough. Sometimes we trust or rely on our past victory or past success instead of rely on God. God wants us to rely on him. So the big idea I want to remind us again that they all are and can be involved in missions. And like Hudson Taylor said, you know, God isn't looking for great men, people of great faith, but individuals ready to follow him. Are we ready to follow God? All giants have been great men who did great things for God because they reckon or rely on God's power and presence. That's the key. Rely on God and his presence to be with us. Yeah. So in conclusion, I will say that God wants each of us to be involved in his mission, to share the gospel with others, to be his witness. God has provided for us, equipped us to serve him. The question is, how are we using that to bless others? Are we willing to explore? Lord, are you calling me for missions? I would like to end with a quote from Mother Teresa. She said, I am a little pencil in the hand of God. I am a little pencil. Perhaps you say, I'm just a pencil. But in the hand of the Almighty God, he can do wonders. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you are God who has loved us, who has saved us, and blessed us as well. You want us to be your light, to be your witness wherever we are, so that others may know you. Others may be transformed. Families may be transformed. Society may be transformed as they follow you, O Lord. May they receive salvation too, Lord, as we make known you known to them. For all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.